Hi, and welcome to session number 11 of More Painless Greek, going through the first epistle of John. In today's session, we're looking at 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, which has 91 words in the Greek text, and of those, 83 are already in our glossary, and there's 8 new words, and 6 of those are unique. So we'll work through the text, this time in 4 groups, verses 11, 12, and 13 by themselves, and then verses 14 and 15 together. We'll learn the new words in each section first, and then examine the Greek text. And as usual, we'll walk through the entire text at the end. So we're able to begin with 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, because it has no new vocabulary. So let's take a look. Now, if you recall, the previous section ended with John saying, it's revealed in this way who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. And it has to do with the one who loves his brother. And so we pick up then in verse 11, and we see this hati, which could be that, since, or because. And we'll just start with because for now. Because this, and this haute is a demonstrative pronoun, a near demonstrative pronoun. This esteen is euangelia, the message. And you probably recall that angelos is the messenger, often translated angel, and euangelia is the corresponding message. This is the message, pain, which, relative pronoun, which ekousote ap arches. Now, we've seen this ap arches before from the beginning, and hopefully you recognize the ekousate as well. This is from the verb akuo, and instead of an epsilon augment, it lengthens the initial alpha vowel in akuo. And if we have an augment, we're thinking, okay, this could be imperfect or it could be aorist. We look at that ending and you see the sate. And you may remember our little memory trick. I saw some sauce. Do you want me to send you some? No, because I saw men sate son. Totally ridiculous, but hopefully a helpful way to remember those aorist active indicative endings. So this is, of course, a second person plural. So it would be a y'all. This is the message which y'all have heard from the beginning. And then notice in the second line, that or so that, and this is always a signal that the subjunctive mood is coming, so that agapomen, we may love, allelus, one another. But this is not subjunctive in the sense of some level of uncertainty. This is actually a special case that is called the hortatory subjunctive. And that is a form of the subjunctive that's used for first person, particularly first person plural. Because if you recall, the imperative does not have first person forms, either first person singular or first person plural. So if an author in Greek wants to say, we must do something, then they actually use a subjunctive form with the first person plural. And again, that's called the hortatory subjunctive, often translated, let us. We could perhaps slightly too strongly translated, we must love one another. So again, verse 11, this is the message which we have heard, which you all have heard from the beginning, that we must love one another. And then we'll pick up some new vocabulary. First, we have this word for Cain. But notice we have an accent on the alpha, and then we have the two dots over the iota in Cain's name. Do you remember what that is called and how it affects the pronunciation? It's called a diaeresis, and it means that instead of pronouncing the two letters, in this case alpha and iota, together as a diphthong, normally would be I, we need to pronounce the letters separately. And this often occurs in loan words from other languages, in this case from Hebrew. So the pronunciation under our scheme would be Cain, A-E, separating those two vowel sounds, Cain. But of course, in English, we know him simply as Cain. And because it's a loan word, doesn't follow Greek rules, it is labeled as indeclinable. That means in every context, it's going to be spelled exactly the same. Then let's look at this verb, sphazo. That's kind of fun to say. This is the verb form of the word for slaughter. But in the New Testament, it is only used of people, humans, or the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, slain as a sacrificial lamb for us. And this verb is only used in 1 John and the book of Revelation, so essentially confined to the Apostle John's writings. So the idea is slaughtering, butchering, murdering. But in the larger realm of Greek speakers, this was used to speak of slaughtering an animal, a sacrificial lamb, where you would slit its throat. And the implication is that Cain slit his brother's throat. He didn't just hit him with a rock, but he treated him like a sacrificial animal. And this word occurs 10 times, again, only in 1 John and the book of Revelation. Then we have this adverb, sometimes called an improper preposition, charin. Now, charin is spelled exactly the same way as the noun charis, thanks, grace, in the accusative case. So it can be somewhat confusing when you see it. But in this case, it is used as an adverb, and the idea is for the sake of, or on behalf of, on account of, and it points to some reason why something happened. We'll see how that is used in the text. So let's move on then to verse 12. In verse 12, recall verse 11, we're to love one another. And here's the contrast, ou not kathos kain ektuponeru ein, not as or just as Cain, not as Cain, out of or from the evil one he was. He was of the evil one. And this, of course, joins back to 1 John 3, verse 10, where there was a distinction made between the children of God and the children of the devil. Cain was of the evil one. Second line, and Esphagxen ton adelphon autou. And he slaughtered the brother of him. He slaughtered his brother. He killed his brother. He murdered his brother. Now, if you look at that verb, esphagxen, this is another aorist, an aorist active indicative, third person singular. Remember that saw, sauce, sen, third singular. He killed, he slaughtered. Notice we have the augment, but then it's obvious that something has combined to create that c sound and letter in the ending. Recall that the root form of this verb is sphagzo, so it ends with a zeta, and in the rules of combinations of letters, when that zeta comes up next to a sigma, just like a kappa coming next to a sigma, it's going to merge the two together and be represented by this letter xi, esphagxen. He killed, he slaughtered his brother. And then the rest of verse 12 offers a bit of an explanation. Kai charin tinas esphagxen auton. Now we see again the same exact form, the aorist active indicative third singular of svadzo, but this asks a question. Notice the semicolon at the end of the top line. And charin, kai charin, and that, if you recall, is on what purpose or what account, the reason why. And then we notice this tinas next to it. And you may recall that tinas is an indefinite pronoun, often means who, what, when. It has no definite referent, someone, anyone. And so we could put this together and say, and on account of what he slaughtered him. And of course, in English, we'd smooth that out and we'd say, why did he slaughter him? And then we have the answer. Notice starting in the middle line, hati, because, ta erga, the works, autu, of him. The works of him, panera, evil, ein, were. That's a form of ami, an imperfect, used for a context speaking of the past. So, for what purpose, what reason did Cain have to slaughter his brother? Because his works were evil. And then in the bottom line, notice we have a de that's tucked in second, and we would normally translate this as a contrast, but, and I think that works well here. You could translate it either but or and. Let's use but. But ta is a neuter plural. So it is speaking of the works. Notice the parallel with the middle line, but the works of to Adelphu, the brother, autu, of him, the works of his brother, and then we want a verb, but it's not here, were righteous, dikai, dikaya, righteous. So, what reason, for what purpose did Cain slaughter his brother? It was because his works were evil, and those of his brother were righteous. And let's move forward and look at some additional vocabulary. Thaumadzo. And this, maybe I'm using too much imagination, but it sort of sounds like the idea of being amazed, wondering, Wow, Thalmadzo. Extraordinarily impressed or disturbed, could even be frightened, wondering, marveling, and so forth. You'll notice it occurs 43 times in the New Testament, predominantly in the indicative mood. So then moving to verse 13, this is the center of the passage and perhaps maybe even one of John's main points in the letter. So notice he says, and not thalmadzete. Now, thalmadzete is an imperative form. It's a command. It's a second person plural form in the imperative of thalmadzo. So it's a second person plural. It's a y'all form. Y'all be amazed. But notice, of course, it's negated. And it's negated with may because it's not in the indicative mood. This is in the imperative mood. So he's saying, do not be amazed, brothers, Adelphoi. So this is a vocative form, direct address. Don't be amazed. Don't be surprised. Don't be astonished, John is saying. Second line, a missae humas hakosmos. If missae, hopefully you recognize that as coming from the verb misseo, I hate. In this case, it's a third singular. Remember, o, ace, a. Don't be surprised if it hates humas, you, hakosmos, the world. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. A quick review on those pronouns. Remember that hey is we and who is you. It's really y'all. But who is you seems to rhyme better and maybe easier to understand. So if you get confused between heimes, humes, heimas, humas, just remember, hey is we, who is you, but in the plural, y'all. So don't be surprised if the world hates you. Well, that's a very strong language. But John is preparing us to understand really what we're up against. It's two different natures, the redeemed nature in those who have been born again, brought alive by the Spirit, and the same Spirit that was in Cain, who murdered his brother, that is existing in the world. And of course, not every person is a murderer all the time. No one is as bad as they could possibly be. Most people have a significant degree of restraint because of fear of consequences or lack of opportunity. But John is very clear. We shouldn't be surprised if we're opposed, if we are hated by the world. And remember, it's for the same reason that Cain killed Abel. John had said, for what reason? On account of what did Cain slaughter Abel? It was because his deeds, Cain's deeds, were evil, and his brothers were righteous. And that burned on him. It irritated him to the point that he killed his brother. He slaughtered him like a sacrificial animal. All right, our last section of vocabulary, and then we'll be ready for the final two verses. Metabino, metabino. Now, you'll notice there's a prepositional prefix, meta, which again we call a proper preposition. Why? Because it's used to form other words. And then the second part is this word, bino. But you'll search in vain in the New Testament for the word bino, which is a valid Greek word. It means to go or to move. It only occurs in compound forms in the New Testament. So it's always paired with a preposition. So, for example, there's a word anabino, which means go up or ascend, and katabino, which means go down, come down, or bring down. So anabino, katabino, here metabino, instead of going up or down, it's in a sense going across and moving from one place to another, or more particular for our text, it's a change in state from one condition to another. In our case, passing out of death into life. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has metabino, crossed over, passed over from death into life." Metabino. Then we have this very rare adjective, anthropoktanos. Anthropoktanos. And you can see at the beginning of this, the word anthropos. It has everything except that final sigma. And so this is has to do with a person, a human. And then there's a Greek verb that's not used in the New Testament, kateno, that means to kill. So it's a man killer, a slayer, a murderer. And it only occurs three times. Two of those are in our text right here. The other one is from John chapter 8. So again, within the body of writings of the Apostle John, where the Lord Jesus is describing the devil, and he says he has been an anthropoktanos aparches, from the beginning. He's been a murderer from the beginning. And I have a little note here that Mounts classifies this as a noun, but the other resources that I've checked tag this as an adjective. All the forms are absolutely identical, so the text doesn't help us at all. And it's a minor point. And again, the word is only used three times in the New Testament. So let's then look at verses 14 and 15, the final section of our text. So in 1 John 3, verse 14, "Hey, Mace," this is a great time to test our memory of that little trick. Hey means what? Hey means we, and who means you, more particularly y'all. So we oidamen, we know. And hopefully you recall my silly trick for remembering oida. It's as though it's a woman's name, and someone says, "Do you know oida?" And of course you reply, "Yes, I know oida very well." We know. So that's a first-person plural form, and it is in some ways redundant to have both the hemes and the oidamen. We know. What is it that we know? Hati, that, metabebekamen, ektu thanatu, eistein zoein. So let's go back and look at this verb. Metabebekamen. Wow, there's a lot there. But you notice between the two betas, there's an epsilon. And you may be thinking, I wonder if that's reduplication, which would tip me off that I'm dealing with a perfect form. And sure enough, this is the verb we just learned, metabino, to cross over. In the perfect, it means having crossed over, passed over, in this case, from death to life. with an ongoing effect. We passed over from death to life, not that we could go back again, but it's a permanent result, an ongoing state. And you notice several things have changed in there, but we have reduplication, we have the kappa, so those are good clues that we're dealing with a perfect active indicative, and this is a first person plural, again from metabino. We know that we have passed ektu thanatu, out of death, eistein zoein, into life. And of course, inserting all the words, it would be, we have passed out of the death into the life, but we wouldn't translate it that way, certainly. And this should be a comfort. John is saying, we know, we have this confident assurance that we have passed out of death into life because there's the hati, agapomen, because we love. And notice that's, again, a first-person plural form. Because we love tous adelphus, we love the brothers, or the brethren, if you prefer that form. Here's how we know. Here's a source of our confidence that God is at work within us, that we genuinely have passed out of death into life because we love one another within the body of Christ. And then he contrasts that in the third line. Notice, ha me agapon mene ento thanato. Here we have another participle. Hopefully you recognize that form, the very common nominative, singular, masculine, present active participle with the own ending. And you'll notice that the article and the participle are separated with that negation, the me. And again, negating with me instead of u is another indication that we're not in the indicative mood. In this case, it is a participle. So what is this saying? Well, the use of the article with that participle is the one loving. It's a singular form, but then with the negation, it's the one not loving, and perhaps by way of ellipsis, that is something left out or implication, the one not loving the brothers, the brethren. Mene, hopefully you recall, meno, I abide, I remain. The one not loving, he remains, third singular, ento thanato, in death. Quick check. The to thanato, those two words are in the dative case. Why are they in the dative case? It's because they're in a prepositional phrase with the preposition en, which requires that the rest of the phrase be in the dative case. So putting this whole verse together, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Those not loving abide or remain in death. And our final verse, verse 15, this pas, you may recall, is all or each, every. And then notice we have yet another participle with an article, ha mison. Miseo, I hate. Here's a participle form, nominative, singular, masculine. Of course, the article always tells the truth. The one hating. Each or every one hating, tan adelphon autu, the brother of him. All those hating their brother, or each one hating his brother, anthropoktanos, esteem, murder is. So those who hate their brother are like a murderer. And the Lord Jesus raised this high standard in the Sermon on the Mount. If you hate your brother in your heart, it's like you are murdering him. So it's not simply, well, I haven't killed him, I'm letting him live. There's no credit in that if we hate one another. And remember, the context here is that John is reassuring us. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. But there are those who do not love the brothers, and they have not passed out of death into life. And in a sense, they are murderers. Even if they haven't committed the act, it is true of their heart. So then the second line, kai oidate, well, here's our good friend Oida again. In this case, we see a second person plural form. And y'all know, so John is simply saying, you know this already. There's no need for me to go over this again. You're already familiar with this idea. You know, hati, that, pas, anthropoktanos, that every murderer, then the third line, uk eche, not he has. Notice we have a form of oo here, so we are in the indicative mood. So a murderer does not have, from echo, I have, does not have zoein aionion, life eternal. Of course, in English, we always put it in the opposite order. A murderer does not have eternal life. And then the final three words, in auto menousan, in him, and this is another form of meno, it's a participle, it's a feminine form, so it may be a little less familiar, but it's feminine because it's relating to the word life. So the one who is a murderer does not have eternal life abiding, remaining in him. So we've gone through our text. Now let's run through the entire thing and just review what we have here. So, preceding our text, we had this indication that the children of the devil and the children of God are obvious, and part of that has to do with loving one another. And then John says, because this is the message which y'all heard from the beginning, that we must love one another, not as Cain loved his brother, and obviously he didn't love his brother, but we're to not love in that way. We're to love in genuine affection, not as Cain, who was from the evil one and slaughtered his brother. And for what purpose? On account of what he slaughtered him? Because his deeds, that is Cain's deeds, were evil, but the deeds of his brother were righteous. And do not be amazed. Don't be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. The one not loving abides in death. All those hating, all the ones or each one who hates his brother is a murderer. And y'all know that every murderer does not have eternal life abiding in him. And so we've walked through this text. Thank you again for your time and patience in this lesson.